But I got to tell you, he loves the Lord, and he wants his life to count. He shared a little bit last night that he spent the first 40 years of his life messing up, and he wants the last half of his life to count for Jesus. And so he's here to serve the Lord, to minister prophetically an encouraging word and a challenging word this morning. So let's give him a warm Calvary welcome, shall we?
Thanks, Pastor. I want to thank Pastor Ray for inviting me back. I usually get invited most places once. The song. Some of you are in here, you're battling things, dealing with things, things that are bigger than you. Some of you got some bad news even the last week, last couple weeks. Tonight's going to be a night of freedom. Tonight's going to be a night of where you can just enter into God's presence and let God do what God wants to do. We're not going to put on a show tonight. There is no show. We're just going to do a novel idea and let God be God. Isn't that a novel idea for church? Wow. But today, I want to go in an entirely different place. Today is just a setup, okay? I'm going to push your buttons, because I'm going to get on an airplane tomorrow and go home and leave it all for him. Today, I want to talk to you about what if. Two words, kept separately. Doesn't have a whole lot of meaning, a what and an if. But you put those two words together, and those two words alone can haunt you for the rest of your life. So we have too many people today wandering around if what if? What if I had? What if I didn't? What if is dangerous. I want to show you something. It's a bridge in Florida that fell. See the van? Do you think he got up that morning driving to wherever and said, a bridge is going to fall on me today? No? Probably not. He was driving down the road just like any other day. Bridge fell on him, and he didn't make it. I wonder what his what-ifs were. I wonder what he left behind. I wonder if anybody even remembers him after the funeral. See, we have a myth out here today is that I'm young, and I don't need to worry about leaving a legacy. And then we have another myth is that I've made too many mistakes to leave a legacy. And I want you to know is both of them are alive from Satan. Because we have more young people passing away now as we do the older people. If that was you, right there, how would you be remembered? Would anybody care? Have you made a difference? Have you impacted people around you, maybe even in your own household? James 4:14 says, why don't even you worry about what happened tomorrow? And he says, what is life? It's just a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. See, this thing that we're living here is only temporary. You see, it says, somebody said one day is that everybody dies twice. The first time when you take your last breath on this earth, and the second time is when your name is mentioned for the very last time. What you do today determines how long your legacy lives. We have too many people today that's not going to last very long. See, when it's all said and done, I want people to go, I remember them. God, he spoke something to my life. He gave me a vision. He gave me a hope. He spoke hope. He spoke vision. He spoke life. That's what I want people to say about me. What are they going to say about you? So I have questions for you. I have a few questions. What if you had 1 year to live? I love his mom. She's probably the only one in the room can understand me because I'm from Virginia too. When I'm in town, I used to meet my dad for breakfast. I still do when I can. We do other things, but I would meet him for breakfast. My dad's 95 years old now. But at 86 years old, we were sitting and having a biscuit on Sunday morning before he went to church and I went to church. And he looked at me and he said, Rex, he said, I'm 86 years old and I've missed out so much in my life. I don't have a clue of what I'm supposed to have done with my life. And I said, Dad, I said, you woke up this morning and God put breath in your body. Every morning God wakes you up and puts breath in your body. You have another day. And I said, it's not too late. He said, he always wanted to be a nurse, but when they were growing up, male nurses weren't cool. But he got to be a nurse, and I told him, I said, Dad, I said, you stay with my mom. You stay with mom. Through all the years of all the pain and all the kidney failure and everything else, you stayed in there. You hung with her. You never left her. And I said, and God decided to take her. And a year later, God put another wonderful woman in your life, and you did the same for her. You need to stop killing them, Dad. Just kidding. And I said, you did a great job. And he always has had nursing homes and things like that on his heart. It's what he's always just loved to do, is to go visit people. And I said, why don't you go to your church and why don't you get some open windows and why don't you ask them for the flowers at the end of the service, and why don't you go visit nursing homes, of going there and ask the nurses, is who are people that never have anybody that comes to visit them? My father-in-law was in a nursing home. He passed away. And we asked the nursing home, said, we have a lot of clothes. Would you like to have them? And they go, yes. We have a lot of children that bring their parents over, drop them off, and they never come back to see them. It's sad. Yeah, we'd love to have the clothes, because some people come in here only with the clothes on their back. My dad goes around and visits people in nursing homes. See, as long as he has breath in his body, is he's found his purpose. He's leaving a legacy. Some people we don't even know. If you had 1 year to live, what would you do with it? I have some questions for you. The first question is what would matter enough for you to focus on it? What would matter in your life enough for you to focus? For you to focus on it. I'm talking about get dialed in. I'm talking about really get drilled in. I'm talking about stay focused. See, the sad part is we get focused on so many things that we lose focus on the main things. See, sometimes life hits hard and we want the healing more than the healer. But see, the healer is the one that gives you the healing. What would matter enough for you to focus on it? What do you need to complete that you've been putting off? Some of you have got a lot of things in your life that are just continually dangling over your head. Some things that you know you should have finished a long time ago, but you haven't yet done them. What do you need to complete? That book that you should have written, that ministry you should have started, that mentoring program that you need to be involved in, the ministry, the church that you know you need to be part of. What do you need to complete that you've been putting off? The next one is what would you do differently? Some of you will get up tomorrow morning, and your tomorrow morning will look no different than last month, 6 months ago, last year. You're living in this thing called a rut. Ruts are dangerous, because all a rut is a grave with both ends knocked out. See, I lived in a rut. I wrote a book called Living Out of the Rut, because that's where I live my life. And I want you to know is when you get out of that rut that Satan tries to keep you in, the view is amazing. You see things differently. You act differently. You talk differently. Folks, what would you do differently? Today's a chance. Today's a chance to start all over. Some of you need to pick back up where you once were. You used to come in and you used to worship and you used to pray and you used to have your devotionals and you used to understand and enter into the presence of God. And for some of you, it's been a long time. It starts today. What is one thing that you're doing that is just a continual waste of time? Boy. I'll tell you what, my life got a whole lot easier when I cut out all the junk. When I cut out all the stuff that really didn't matter, the stuff that took me nowhere, the stuff that made no difference to anybody's life, those things. When I cut out those things, I also had to cut out some people called air suckers. Do you know any of them? When I cut out the air suckers out of my life, is I gained a whole lot more time to do the things that I really need to do and I want to do. See, to me, as I had a young lady one day look at me, and she told me, she says, you will never look into a pair of eyes that God doesn't love. My role on this earth is to help people understand who He is. I'm not one of these where I walk around with my King James Bible and beat you over the head with it and wear you out and do all of that. My whole thing is I just want to share life with you. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you that whatever God put in you, you can do it. I told you last night God had a sense of humor, because He took me and put me on a national platform, and all I am is me. And if God has a sense of humor and wants to do that with me, what does He want to do with you? But you got to start letting go of things that don't matter. and start stepping into the things that do. I want to apologize for this one before I say it. Who would you reach out to? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? Who's that person that pushed your buttons, that you said things that you didn't need to say? Who's that person that did you wrong? As long as you hold on to unforgiveness, it's going to keep you locked into prison. Sometimes when you say that, hey, I forgive you, most of the time when you're looking at them, they go, for what? And you've been carrying around all of that stuff the whole time, and they've been free. Some of you need to make phone calls when you get to your car today. Some of you might need to make a visit on your way home. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to make it right with? There was a guy that, when I went to the church that I was at, that totally stabbed me in the back. And we had a pastor. We call him Dr. Love. Because everything is drives me crazy. I'm just kidding. No, not really. He kept trying to fix the relationship. He had wanted to have a cup of coffee with me one day, and we sat down and had a cup of coffee, and he didn't know that I'd done this, but I went to Eddie, and I says, Eddie, you stabbed me in the back. He said, I know. He said, I said it before I thought about what I was saying. I said, and I want to let you know. I said, I forgive you. I want to let you know I'll never trust you again, but I forgive you. So Pastor, he had to have a cup of coffee with me one day, and I sit across from him, and he tried to repair the relationship again, and I says, Pastor, we're good. We've talked. But I want to let you know it's going to be a long time before I trust you. He said, that's fair. But I tell you, until I had that talk with Eddie, I just carried it around. And it hurt. It's a weight. It sits right here. Get rid of your weight. Cut that chain. Tell him, says, let's move on. What are you holding on to you need to let go of? I told the folks last night here, as long as you're holding on to yesterday's junk, you can't reach for anything new, because your hands are tied up with yesterday's junk. Your past, God allowed you to live through it. All the junk, all the stuff, all the hurt, all the pain, He allowed you to live through it. He allowed you to live through it so you could look back at it and not live in it. One of the greatest ministry tools I have is my past. The guys that I deal with, the druggies, alkies, left families. See, I was over at my girlfriend's house, and my wife, she was coming this weekend, but it was in September, and she can't come in September. We're retiring in March. Does she go anywhere then? I was over at my girlfriend's house, and there was a knock at the door. She said, your wife is here. I was like, oh my gosh. And my wife looked at me, and she says, I'd rather start over with somebody I love than somebody I don't. I can tell you, she's my best friend. If God can put my marriage back together, whatever little argument you had this morning or last week or last month, it's no deal. You got to get through it. Let go of the past. Let go of the junk. Allow God to give you the tools to use it with, so you can impact the lives of other people with it. The next one is if you died now, what would be your biggest regret? What would be the biggest thing that you would regret not doing? The next one is what do you need to pursue? Folks, in this room, God has put a story inside of every single one of you. Every single one of you. He has given each and every one of you a gift and every one of you talents. And some of you are holding on to them so tight because you're afraid of what it's going to require from you if you get involved or you let go. Over in the Philippines, monkey meat is a delicacy. At night, the monkeys, the hunters come out and they take coconuts and they cut coconuts and they nail them to a tree. And they put brown rice inside of the coconuts. At night, the monkeys come out, and the monkeys take their hand and stick them in the coconut, and they grab a handful of the brown rice. See, oh, they love that brown rice. See, all they have to do is let go of the brown rice and take their hand out of the coconut. No, they want that brown rice. Some of you are holding on to brown rice. You're holding on to things that is going to take you to your grave. His hand gets stuck and the hunters come in at night. And they knock the monkeys in the head and they take them off to the market because monkey meat is a delicacy. See, all that monkey has to do is, and he could live another day. No. He puts his hand in the coconut. Like many of you today, you've got your hand in the coconut. You come to church, the music starts. One hand holding on to the brown rice, and the other hand trying to worship a God. I'm looking at some of you faces, and what would happen? What would happen if you took your hand out of the coconut, let go of the brown rice, and made yourself a funnel, and you allowed God to pour everything He has planned for you into your life? Isn't the funnel amazing? It's bigger at the top than it is at the bottom. Think of everything that God has planned for you. And the sad part is we have too many people that are taking it to their grave. They say the richest place in the world are the diamond mines in South Africa. I believe the richest place in the world is their cemeteries. With all the dreams, the visions, the hopes, the inventions that are buried, that were never lived out, that were never started, that were never fulfilled. The last question I have for you is who's going to cry at your funeral? I attended a funeral one day, and it was a good friend of mine from work. And the pastor, the whole time the pastor was doing it, every time he mentioned his name, he would do this. He would talk a little more about him, and he would do this. Me being the fine, young, upstanding gentleman that I am, I had to see, just my curiosity said he has his name written in the palm of his hand. I had to go up and shake hands with him and turn his hand over so I could see Ed written in the palm of his hand. When they do your funeral, are they going to have their name, your name written in the palm of their hand? Folks, don't count your days. Make your days count. What if? See, your fingerprints never die from the lives you touch. I still remember the guys that poured into my life when I was young. And when I finally started getting it right, God put three guys in my life that walked with me every step of the way. They pushed me. I was uncomfortable. One of them, when he passed away, it was the coolest sight I've ever seen. He used to go to Starbucks every morning of his life when he was in town. He would sit there, and people got to see him and talk with him. And he would just minister to people every day. He passed away, and Starbucks put a thing on the table. Dr. Dan passed away. If you would like to leave a word, do so. And they put paper out. And they allowed people to write what they wanted to write about Dr. Dan. It got so tall they had to put edges around the table to hold the letters in. At his funeral, Starbucks allowed him to come and take the table, and they set it up on the platform with all the notes of the lives that he touched. He came up to me one day, and we traveled for 18 months. And he came up to me one day, and he's been in ministry for 35 years, 15 years of theology, and he said, it's taken me the last 30 years to get the theology out of me. He always knew I had a thumb drive, one of the little memory stick things, and he says, here, I want you to take those three folders on my computer. They're yours. 35 years of messages. And he told me, he says, always used to tell me I was the best. Every time we left, he'd go his way at the airport, I'd go my way at the airport. He always would hug me and he would say, you're the best. You're the best. You don't know how many days, some days I needed to hear that. There were days I didn't feel like the best. There were days I won't live in like the best. But he would tell me, he said, you're the best. The last time we were on the road together, I didn't know we were going to get to do it one more time. The last day we were on the road together, see, he lived in Kansas City and I lived in Richmond, Virginia. There was hardly a day we didn't talk. But the last time we were together, he told me, he looked at me and he said, You're the best. Now go be who God made you. I don't do this for me. I do this because of Him. Because He showed me a God that cared enough for somebody like me to put me where I am, doing what I'm doing. And I can't say no. I had a guy yesterday walk up to me. He wrote me a post-it note. And he told me, he says, God is using you well. I got the car, I lost it. Whose life are you going to pour into? Whose lives are you going to make a difference in? Who are you going to say I'm sorry to? Who are you going to forgive? What are you going to stop doing that is just a waste of time? Folks, carve your name on hearts and not tombstones. Carve your name on hearts. So here's my closing challenge for you, and I'm done. At the bottom of your tombstone, there's going to be some words written. When you know today what you want those words to read, you will know how you need to start living. So my challenge to you today is write those words down today and start making every day count toward living out those words. Your fingerprints will never fade from the lies.
As many of you know, we do a college ministry with other churches in the community. Katie, Will, Noah, any chance that sounded familiar with what we've been talking about? We talked to our college students, Rex, about living life on purpose. Not just passively existing, but living life on purpose. And I said, at the end of your life, people are going to define you with a sentence. You decide what that sentence is, or they will. So, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. College students, I think you're getting it, right? But it isn't just for them, it's for all of us. We don't have yesterday. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. That person who drove, they didn't know that they weren't going to get another tomorrow. But today we have. And the good news is, according to Jeremiah and Lamentations, that His mercies are new every morning. Lord, I thank You that this day, this moment in time, this morning, can be one of those pivot points that transitions us in a new direction. We can keep going on the road that we're on and reach a place of insignificance, of regret, of what if. Or, Lord, by Your grace, as we yield ourselves to You by Your Spirit, we can make a choice to move forward in making a difference as we make ourselves available to You, investing in people, investing in the kingdom, being useful to the Master, and prepared to do any good work, living a life that leaves a legacy of touched lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would take to heart the word we've heard, not just for this second in time, in this moment, that Your Spirit would keep bringing back the word again and again and again. And I pray for those here, Lord, who perhaps have heard a similar message, tried and failed, and feel like, God, even You can't change me. I pray, Lord, that today that lie would be brought to the foot of the cross and rejected. That they would come to see and know that greater is He who is in them than the one who is in the world. That the enemy was defeated at the cross and at the empty tomb. And that You reign, God. You reign.